Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Scruggs has it all. John Deere tractors, big and small. Loaded out gators and mowers for every yard. Implements, we've got them. Plus expert sales, full parts, and factory authorized service. Scruggs, we have what you want for less.
What's up? Welcome in on this Sunday night to this Victory Sunday, stealing that from Hey Dad edition of the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky. Always glad that you are with me. And yes, after a series win, Ole Miss pitched their way to a series win in Gainesville. I mean, when you look at it, one of the better performances from an Ole Miss pitching staff in quite some time. I'm going to ask Mike Bianco about that tomorrow on the radio show. I mean, they've had a lot of really good weekends on the mound over the years, but how many weekends can you remember where you only gave up 8 runs on the road in the SEC against a ranked team? That is a feat from the pitching staff. They are really good. Still questions, as you can imagine, about what they are at the plate, but they did win a series and an important one, setting up what is a critical weekend against LSU. So I'm really glad that you guys are here. We'll talk about that, read some of your comments. Probably going to be a little bit shorter, only because we already talked about game one in that series because it happened on Thursday night, obviously. But Ole Miss gets a series win. Again, setting up a huge, huge weekend with LSU upcoming this weekend. That's a series you got to get. I mean, if you want to get back into the hosting conversation, and that is the way that I think that the program should be measured on an annual basis, just making the tournament is not anything noteworthy to me. So we're not going to do that. How many wins does it take to get into the tournament? Well, they better. But can they get back into the hosting discussion? RPI is there. Can they get the wins? And they can do that starting this weekend to really get back on track and maybe start having that conversation again. So we shall see. I'm glad you're here. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe. And if you like what you hear, leave a rating and a review. And also right here on YouTube, subscribe, leave a comment, hit the notification bell, all that stuff. I would appreciate that if you're watching / listening on YouTube. And this edition of the show is presented by Logan Smith. Shelter Insurance is where he is. And if you are in Mississippi, he's got you covered anywhere in Mississippi for auto, home, life, or insurance for your business. Give him a call, get a quote. Even if you have auto, home, life, or business insurance, even if you have it, it's worth a phone call. What's 5 minutes of your day to save money and get a better service? 601-823-3500. Again, give Logan Smith the call at 601-823-3500. And when you call him, tell him that it was me that sent you there. All right, so we already talked about Thursday's game. Ole Miss gets the win. Rabe was really good. Maybe saw a batter or two too many, but he was good. 4 2/3, only gave up 3 runs, struck out 6. He was good. Calhoun was good. Waters, they only asked him to get one out. And then Hooks, shutting the door, did give up that 1 run, but in 2 complete, struck out 3. Really good night pitching. They got some production at the plate. The numbers weren't particularly great, but they actually hit the baseball with runners on scoring position multiple times in that game, and then they win. Turn around in game 2, and it's the exact opposite story. Just an abysmal, I can't talk tonight, guys. Night at the plate for Ole Miss. They managed to score 2 runs, and they lost 2-0, and both of those runs came against Hunter Elliott in the 3rd, only 6 hits for Ole Miss. But Elliott wasn't that bad. He was just inefficient. Only 4 complete, 102 pitches for Elliott. Walked 4. Had a wild pitch mixed in there as well. But only gave up the 2 runs on just 4 hits. Did strike out 9. Koenig was good. Scattered 2 hits in his 2 complete. Struck out 2. And then Libert, he was awesome. 5 strikeouts in his 2 complete. That's the role for him. The rotation is figured out. You flip-flop Elliott and Rabe, but that this is your rotation now. It's pretty electric. and this fits. Everything else makes sense. Liberatt coming out of the pen, again, I mean, it's a one-game sample size of him really producing in that role anyway. But he was good. And let's see, he pitched in the state series and gave up three runs, but I'll kind of give him a pass on that. Anyway, that's the role for him, though. The bullpen, the pitching staff was excellent all weekend, and same goes for game three as well. Ole Miss wins 5-2. They were down 2-0 going in to the top of the ninth, but it started with Townsend's outing, and he was spectacular. Scattered four hits, gave up just one run, struck out six, and then Walker Hooks was excellent late, 2 1/3, only gave up one hit, struck out three, slammed the door on Florida. Well, he slammed the door on Florida after it started with Judd Uttermark's two-run home run, and then Florida just kept putting guys on and just kept putting guys on. Randall has a productive out. Federico singles to score a couple of runs, and then that's it. That's ball game. 19 consecutive innings without scoring a run for Ole Miss this weekend. There's no way that a team has won a series on the road against a ranked team while going 19 consecutive innings without scoring a run. That has got to be a first. I don't even know how you research that, but that's got to be a first. As we've talked about, and they started playing better defense as well. They've cleaned some things up in the field some, so that's, you know, that's a footnote as well in this. But it's a good series win. It was good to see them actually have clutch productive at-bats super late, but it happened. You can't leave a belt-high pitch on Judd Uttermark, regardless of what a strikeout rate is. He will punish you for that. But I think that it's clear that this team is, even after a series win, we kind of know what they are. I say that you're starting to see some signs of life. There's little improvements offensively. Like Randall did a couple of nice things this weekend. A couple of guys maybe are making better contact with the ball. But by and large, this is an abysmal offensive baseball team. They are, at best, super inconsistent. If they can just get what they got a couple of times this weekend with any tiny amount of consistency, they're going to pitch it well enough to play a lot more interesting games coming up this season with real stakes on them, right? Because this pitching staff, again, the rotation's figured out. They're healthy. There's so many options. They are really good out of the pen. The worst start they got this weekend was Hunter Elliott. So they're in great shape there. They're going to pitch it well enough to be in basically every weekend. Now, Georgia is going to be an absolute bear. That is, they are awesome offensively, but they're going to pitch it well enough to keep themselves into basically every series that they're going to play. It's, can you get any amount of run support, Because if you do, they pitch it well enough to get back into the hosting conversation. They proved that this weekend. We've kind of known that already. I said on the radio show, I think Wednesday, and I may have said it to you guys, that they pitch it better than the numbers say that they do. Like, if you look at the pitching stats going into the weekend, they weren't, like, super impressive, but they were better than those numbers suggested that they were. And now you're seeing what we were talking about with that. But still deeply concerned about the offense and their lack of production and their inconsistency. If they can just get something with relative consistency, they're going to win some games because they pitch it so well, as they showed you this weekend, to keep them in every ball game. So good series win. I don't think they answered all of the questions about them, but I do think that, man, this pitching staff's impressive. And Judd Uttermark, I mean, the first comment says he didn't save the season, but man, that kind of feels somewhat close to that. Yeah. Because if he just strikes out there and they lose that series too, the vibes are grossly low right now. But he hit a home run. They capitalized on Florida putting guys on base, productive out. Federico makes something happen, and now they have two ranked series win ranked at the time. And there's an opportunity here, which is all you could really ask for going into the weekend. What was to come back with an opportunity to continue to play important postseason implicated, hosting implicated baseball. So there you go. Good weekend. Absolutely good weekend. Still very concerned about their inability to hit the baseball, but we'll see if they can improve on that this weekend, because this LSU team is interesting as hell. Got a wild series in Knoxville this weekend. They don't pitch it really well at all. So if there's ever a weekend for the offense to get right, it's got to be this one. We'll see if they can do it. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's outstanding. Local loan servicing and decision-making, because that's what you want. You want somebody to get to know you if they're going to give you or manage your money. It's in the name, at Priority One Bank. Switch and bank with me. Also, Advantage Business Systems, absms.com, for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you, and you'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Season saving is too strong. This is the first comment, but Unimark's home run sure was an important one. They finally got that outing from Cade Townsend we had been waiting on. Yeah, he's fully healthy, clearly, because he was electric. And, you know, it felt like at the time it was one of those things where we were going to come on here and say that that team again owes him one, because they owed him one after whatever the hell happened in the outfield in the Kentucky series. And they were about to owe him one for wasting an outstanding pitching performance, but they didn't. They didn't. That was a fight. Glad they came out on the winning end. Austin, appreciate the super chat, my friend. Happy Easter, Borky. He has risen. Yeah, we had a good day today. The vibes at church were immaculate. Although, I will tell you, my brain is completely broken. It's completely broken. Because I've said this to you guys before, but the audience is growing like crazy. 50% growth March 2026 versus March 2025. And in March 2025, the basketball team made a run to the Sweet 16. 50% growth in 2026. You guys are awesome. Thank you for that. So there is new people. The Masters is my favorite sporting event. I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with Augusta National. I'm obsessed with the Masters. When I was in high school, I, instead of paying attention in class, would draw the course map. And I probably still could. I haven't done it in a long time. But I used to be able to accurately draw every hole, bunkering, the tiers on the greens, the shape. I could do it all. I used to be able to know all of the names of the holes too. So each hole has a plant or a tree as its name, tea olive, et cetera, white dogwood, yellow, all that stuff, azalea. I used to be able to name all of those as well. That's another thing I haven't done in a while, but I'm obsessed with the tournament. I love it. Every time amen was said today in church, the next word that hit my head was corner. My brain is broken. It's completely broken. Aside from that, it was a good day at the old church. But yeah, I couldn't stop thinking about the Masters. That it's a problem. Like the piano was just playing in my head. Amen. Amen. That's right. And then do 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 do, do in my head. Yeah. I shouldn't admit that, but that is real. You know, I am who I am. I can't change that. So still don't think much differently about the team overall. They pitch it great and cannot hit, and that's a recipe for 13 or 14 league wins and a 2 or 3 seed. Yeah, I'm still there, right? I'm still right there. I think that they are going, the inability to hit consistently is going to cost them games they should not lose. It happened on Friday night. No business losing that game. None. But they did. And it's going to happen again unless things change. And I'm just not there yet. So I'm with you. I think they'll make the postseason be a 2 or 3 somewhere. But the way they pitch it is going to scare the hell out of whatever one seed that they get. I mean, if you're like, if you're Southern Miss, right? Because every regional projection, if Southern Miss hosts, which did they win today? Because they were in another rubber match. They're having a hard time catching sweeps. And the problem with that is Coastal Carolina has been awesome in the Sun Belt. Okay, so they did win the series today. But the problem, though, with Southern Miss is they're not sweeping anybody. And Coastal Carolina is. And I don't think the Sun Belt's going to get two hosts. And they lost another midweek game, that kind of stuff. But if they're hosting Ole Miss, if Ole Miss is a two or a three, they're getting sent to Hattiesburg. But if you're Southern Miss, you'd be pissed to see that Ole Miss pitching staff in your regional. That's where they're going to end up, I think, is they'll be a two or a three, and whoever is the one is going to be furious that pitching staff is there too, because I think they've got, I mean, one of the better ones in the SEC. They're truly really good. And again, Elliott has been his best one time this year, and you know what he's capable of. You've got one coming off of an injury, and the other one just entered the rotation. Like, they're still settling into their roles. Imagine as the season goes on and they get more comfortable and you finally get Elliott, because I think you're going to get Elliott, like, vintage him. It's in there. He showed you last weekend. It's in there. He's going to figure it out. And when he does, can we please address the fact that they went 20 innings without scoring a single run? It's hard to fathom. Credit for Florida and Kevin O'Sullivan for completely losing their composure. What a great guy he is, too. I think I told you guys this Thursday, but yeah, I'm not a fan at all. I mean, not even the personal life stuff. I don't want to get into. I don't. Although personal lives become public when things happen, but still, on video berating groundskeepers at Coastal Carolina last year, just that kind of stuff. Just gross. But he looks like if you asked ChatGPT to create the most Florida-looking baseball coach it could, it would just produce a picture of him. The weekend rotation of Elliott, Townsend, and Rabe is set. That's it right there. Would you send Rabe all the way to Sunday? Part of me wonders if you should just switch Elliott and Rabe from this past weekend, obviously, because the rest situation and, you know, the series starting early. But I don't know. If this team is 7-8 at the halfway point, they could sneak into the regional conversation pretty easily. They could. The RPI is there. They could. Imagine what this team would be like with an offense. I think they could have been undefeated. I mean, they don't even need to, not even a good offense, just average. If they were just an average team at the plate, what would their record be right now? The LSU series will make or break this team. Do you think Pete could have avoided the question about Dabo? Just wondered. There's an ongoing case about this, and the NCAA hasn't said anything about it yet, but I don't think they will, to be honest. No, you can't avoid that. When Dabo does what he does publicly, no, you can't avoid that. And also, I mean, the NCAA is looking into it. They haven't said anything publicly, but they've leaked to media members that they are looking into it. So they are. I don't know what to what degree. I will believe something serious happens the second it happens and not 1 minute before, because I just don't believe that the NCAA can actually enforce something like this. I'm Clemson was given the opportunity to provide the receipts through Freedom of Information Act request from the Athletic. They cited FERPA as the reason why they couldn't. That raised an eyebrow to me. Why would you not, if you have all of this, and also you have to kind of comply with a Freedom of Information Act request, then you cite that it's that's personal in nature involving a student athlete, but yet you're the one that named the student athlete publicly. It tells me maybe there's something that has happened in the correspondence between Clemson and Ole Miss that maybe Clemson doesn't want out. Probably something to that. And by probably, I mean there's something to that. I don't think the NCAA can enforce this. If they can, it'll probably be very weak. And if it's not weak, you take it to court and just keep. Until there is a CBA and antitrust protection, the NCAA is going to keep getting sued, man. But no, you can't avoid that question. It had to be asked. It had to be answered. Next 2 weeks are critical because you have an LSU team sort of back from the dead, and Tennessee is floundering big time. The Vols are 4-9 and go to state and will likely get smoked. LSU is 6-6. Yeah. 4-8, not 4-9. Yeah. The SEC is weird this year in baseball. Yeah, a lot of odd results. A lot of odd results. This baseball team's like the equivalent of that 2018 state football team. Best defense in the country and the worst offense. Yeah. 4 of the 9 bats are completely a liability. 4 of them are, yeah. Is this the worst Bianco offense in his 26 years? This team has veterans that some of those mid-2010s teams did not. Is this the worst offense in 26 years? I'll have to look into that because that's a good question. And I agree. They have to win 4 of the next 6 if we're going to start talking about hosting. Owen Pano put the man in the lineup. And had they won that Friday game against State, the negativity would be much less. Working your way out of a hole is tough to do, and winning at Florida is part of that. Yeah. Thoughts on UConn, Michigan tomorrow? Holy crap, Michigan looked like the dream team out there. You could not have a bigger contrast in likability from one head coach to the next. I hope Michigan beats them by 100 points. No, basketball is the last thing on anyone's mind right now, but has anyone heard anything new on Beard taking other jobs? I've heard nothing lately. Also, was UConn, Michigan the worst possible game? There's no jobs for him to take right now. No. I mean, I guess if shuffling happens, it could happen. I'm still, as we talked about before, I'm still, I guess frustrated is the right word with how ESPN, specifically ESPN, has talked about and reported on the resources available for him at Ole Miss. Again, we talked about it. I don't need to rehash it, but the implication that he needs to go somewhere that has a bigger budget is hilarious when the budgets get FOIA'd and his is massive. I mean, it's out of the top 15 in the country. And talking about resources, when they put the millions upon millions of dollars they put in this roster to win 12 regular season games. I don't know where that was, where that came from. I don't know if ESPN just made that up. I doubt it. But wherever that came from, it's wrong. And yes, Ole Miss does not have the brand power of some basketball brands. I mean, there's no doubt. I'm not denying that. But when it's being reported that the budget and the resources aren't there, that's language. I know it's Easter Sunday. Forgive me for this. That's bullshit. And sometimes people in the media do make stuff up or they use old information. It was just repeated enough by people in basketball media to make me think it was coming from somewhere. Where was it coming from? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's agent chatter. I don't know. But Keith Carter and Ole Miss have invested in basketball in ways that it's debatable if they should have gone as far as they've gone in investing in basketball. But they're doing it. I think they should. But they're giving everything that they possibly can give to basketball. And in the narrative that they the budget's not big enough is garbage. But but back to your question. Anything new on the taking other jobs? I mean, he would not be a candidate in North Carolina. Just won 12 regular season games, plus what got him fired at Texas makes him a non-candidate at UNC, unless they just keep getting told no, I suppose. But no. Have to make hay before Georgia comes to Oxford. That's a terrible matchup for Ole Miss. Yeah, they mash, man. They absolutely mash. Have to ask your thoughts on particular, in particular on Tennessee and Mississippi State baseball for different reasons. Tennessee for how they're falling off and how good that sweep affects State. Still think State is good. Yeah, State is good. I know they got swept this weekend, but you guys saw what they were capable of on your home field. They need McPherson back, though. I don't know if they have pitching depth the way that they need to. Starter's good. Valinkis, that they're throwing out in game two, he's awesome. Generally, I guess he didn't have the best. No, he did have a good day, right? Too many games to keep up with all at once. Game two, he was great, wasn't he? I don't know if you guys picked up on it, by the way. There are brothers that play for... Yeah, he was good. Yeah, he was good in game two. There are brothers that play for Mississippi State. Valinkis and Valencius. Brothers. Same parents. Same last name. Spelled the same. Said differently. Yeah, it's a real thing. But, no, I still think they're good. Georgia's got possibly the most explosive offense in the country. And State needs McPherson back. And I don't know if they've got the... I don't know if they have pitching depth in the way that maybe they thought they did. Speaking of UConn, whatever happened to that home-and-home they scheduled against UConn in football? Didn't it go away? Florida's body language with O'Sullivan is terrible. I'd be terrified of him. Be terrified of him. Crowds are pretty light. Yeah, they don't support baseball relative to what the program is. Excuse the resident South Carolina-born person. Am I wrong for saying that sometimes Dabo gives off Hugh Freeze vibes? Am I wrong for that? No, he does. He does. I will say, I mean, not that I'm like connected to Clemson or anything. And maybe this is there too with him, but there is not the same behind the scenes. Hey, this guy's not really, like, even years before Freeze got exposed, I mean, people saw him at Funky's drinking out of white styrofoam cup, stuff like that. You know, there was always like the, hey, he's, you know, they're keeping it quiet because he's the football coach, but he's kind of running around town with some people that make you wonder. Never heard anybody say that about Dabo. Maybe that's there too, but I think he's the era is passing him by. They're batting .210 in league play. Yeah, it's. Did you see the LSU media member tweet at the Ole Miss fan base during the series that they had against Tennessee this week? He said that Ole Miss and Tennessee baseball are the same. Once the guy's gone, you're toast. Yeah, you know. State fans were doing that with Zach Arnett too, saying that this is just like Zach Arnett. And I mean, and unless you're just rage baiting, which I didn't think that that's what it was. It's just a very unintelligent compare. It's a sign that somebody doesn't really have a whole lot of depth of thought to look at baseball, Tennessee baseball, and what's happening to them, and somehow think that correlates to a football program. And also, there are examples after example after example of promoting from within and it working. Georgia Tech, Ohio State, Notre Dame, et cetera, et cetera. It does work. It also doesn't work, but it does work. It's almost as if it is a case-by-case thing and trying to look at something over here and compare it to something way over here is stupid. It's a stupid thing to do, and there's no correlation between the two. One happening doesn't mean the other is going to happen. It's just that is lowest common denominator type stuff. That's the kind of stuff that makes the Feinbaum show popular. Here's the question. Based on the knowledge we have and estimates on spending between the three men's sports, what is your personal opinion on how they're spending and what you do different? That's a really good question. I don't know what I would do different, to be honest with you. I mean, I think that they are just maximizing the fact that they are funding the three sports in the manner in which they are is super impressive to me. I think it's more about evaluations and efficiency and development, right? I mean, football's done that. Football's taken their investment and they've turned it into something. Basketball 2 years ago made the Sweet 16, right? But what was their failure this year? It wasn't money. It was evaluations. And same thing with baseball. It's not lack of funds, and we're not going to have that conversation. They have enough money to field a roster that is competitive. I don't know if I would reallocate money. I don't know if I'd change anything. It's just all about evaluating better than they currently are. Flanagan gone, Pinkins heading to NC State. Are they going to have anyone left to play beard ball next year? Is the Pinkins to NC State thing confirmed? No, they were trying, but has that happened? Because if Pinkins would bring, sorry, I'm not talking at all. If Pinkins would bring his son with him to NC State, that would be a massive, massive blow. If Beard wanted to leave after the season, Carter wouldn't be as hell-bent on keeping him as he was before. He's a great coach, but he's not the greatest fit at Ole Miss. I'm not sure the kids want to play for him. We'll see. I mean, it's tough, right? Because second Sweet 16 ever turned into 12 regular season wins so quickly. It's hard to figure out what the hell happened, you know. Remember when Brian Kelly was leaving Notre Dame for LSU because he needed a better program with more resources to win championships? Exactly. One of the few things I got right was Brian Kelly's not going to work at LSU. It was one of the few things I got right. But remember, that was the sticking point is, well, he's at Notre Dame, though. Imagine what it's going to be like when he gets here. And then that happened. All of these jobs are a lot closer to each other than the traditionalists want to admit. That's the truth of the matter. They're a lot closer. Now, there is separation, of course, but they are a lot closer than these programs are willing to admit, or than the media people are willing to admit. Look at Alabama post-Saban. Still a great job. They were a good team. They made the playoff. Won a playoff game. But they're human because the greatest coach of all time is not there anymore. Because everybody's kind of similar. Everybody. Yeah, I don't think Ole Miss should increase baseball spending to the level of LSU or State right now. I don't think that makes a lot of sense because you have enough to build a roster that still can compete for and host regionals with what you're currently spending. Absolutely. Can you argue that where the football team is nationally, should they just go full Georgia and not fund anything but football? They did that for years. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't. It's just, and I know like winning football does so much, but for the entire health of your institution, punting every other sport but football, I don't think is a sound strategy either, especially because when you can adequately fund football, you don't have to punt the other ones. Say fans are hoping the Golding hire works out like Arnett. Yeah, that's wish casting is all that is. Do you know if baseball and basketball have their own GMs? Basketball is going to get one. I guess they kind of have one already, but kind of sounds like there's going to be some changes. Probably needs to be. Are we forgetting Zach Arnett completely flipped the program? It was decaying in the background under Leach. Meanwhile, Pete is keeping a status quo. And Zach Arnett was, he wasn't ready for the job. Some guys are, some guys aren't. He wasn't ready for it. He didn't have all that much experience anyway. But yeah, he tried to. It just, the timing was poor. It was unexpected. He wasn't ready for it. He couldn't handle it. It changed him personally. And I don't mean like, I don't know about his private life. That's not what I mean. I mean, like the way he interacted on the sidelines and stuff, like his personality changed in that role. It didn't work. Didn't fit. Pete is a lot more experienced and has worked under more higher level coaches. Kind of groomed for it. And yeah, there were a lot of cracks. There were. Leach is a legend, but it was not the most efficiently run operation at the time. Berg is the GM now for basketball. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of staff turnover. You spoke very definitively about Pinkins. All of you listening hope that is wrong. Sorry, long pause there, but just read some of your messages. I appreciate you guys. Georgia baseball looks really good because they are good. Their offense is unbelievable, man. That was a huge, huge sweep for them. It's a huge sweep for them. I wonder what the tiers are in the SEC. Is it Texas, Georgia? Let's see. Let's do this right now. Texas, Georgia, step below. Alabama, A&M, Mississippi State, step below. That's when you get to Florida, Auburn, Ole Miss, LSU, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Arkansas, step below. Tennessee, Missouri, step below. South Carolina. Is that kind of how you would rank that? Arkansas near the bottom? They're worse than their 5-7 record, possibly, aren't they? There are 10 teams within two games of each other in the middle. Yeah, the middle is, it's just a hodgepodge of teams that are all kind of flawed. Yeah, Arkansas keeps losing midweeks. And in they have that weird loss to UT Arlington. And what's their RPI right now? I wish I could sort this by conference. That would be great. Let's see. Alabama 2, wow. Texas 3, Auburn 5, Florida 8, Ole Miss 9. That's a great number. Missouri State 11. That helps Ole Miss some. State 15, Southern Miss 16. See, Southern Miss's problem is they're going to fall out of the RPI range they need to be in unless they start sweeping. A&M 17, Oklahoma 18, Kentucky 20, Georgia 21. Where is Arkansas? Did I skip Arkansas? Tennessee, 45. Ooh. Arkansas State's 54. Arkansas State is 54 and Arkansas is 56. Gross. Now, it's probably still a little early, but LSU 72 right now in the RPI. Again, that will change as they play more SEC games, but Vanderbilt down to 95. South Carolina, 98. Ugh. Yeah, LSU's way down there. Well, I'm going to hang it up, guys. I really appreciate you being here, as always. We'll be back on Tuesday. I think there's another Golding media op on Tuesday. There's a lot over the weekend. I need to do more than Golding and cut up some of that and bring you guys some extra stuff, because there was a lot that was said over the weekend. Good stuff. A lot that was said over the weekend. Pretty woolly on what they could be defensively. I think there's a chance that you have the best defense that you've had aside from 24 in a long time. Long time. Like, 24 is the number two defense in the country. I don't know if they'll be the number two defense in the country this season, but I think that they have a chance to be on that type level. A lot of good things being said about what they've got and what they portaled on that side of the ball. So I appreciate you guys. I'll see you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.